Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday morning. I was looking through all of my old shows and just kind of taking inventory. And you know, I couldn't believe it. I shocked myself. I have been doing this for 3.5 years. And I started this in 2020. And I was just kind of taking inventory of all the different guests and the different topics. And I came across this show with Kathleen Beckman that I thought was so relevant and prevalent to just right now and what is going on in our society, what's going on in our families, and just a lot of just spiritual warfare that people have no idea how to deal with, how to handle, or even recognize that maybe that's the problem and it's not something else. But it's hard to pinpoint and recognize your enemy if you don't know who your enemy is and the different ways that he can be attacking you in our lives. And the best way that we can protect ourselves is to educate ourselves, right? And to stay close to God, obviously. But with that being said, I did a show in 2021 with Kathleen Beckman, and she has a book, and I believe it was new at the time when I interviewed her, and it is called A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, and it is powerful. If you don't know or are kind of afraid or maybe just not educated as a Catholic in just the basics of spiritual warfare and how you can protect yourself, how you can protect your family, your marriage, just your kids, things coming in the home or things you may not realize, this is the book for you and this is the show for you. So she is going to break it down for us here and we are just going to get into it with just the sacramentals, the prayers, things you can do within the home, and how to even talk to your children about these topics. Because if you don't fully understand them, it's really hard to talk to your kids about things, right? So then we just don't talk to them at all, and we just pray, and we hope God's going to protect them. But I think in this day and age, and the demonic that is so prevalent right now, that we need to be proactive in kind of countering the attacks that we're experiencing on a daily basis. And let's face it, we have an enemy, the evil one, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy the church. And it is just out there and everybody knows it. And he's really not hiding anymore. And so with that being said, I thought this show would be just an excellent way to just maybe shake the dust off. And for those of you that are like, well, yeah, I know about that, but I haven't really done anything lately, or I haven't really paid attention. So maybe just dust off that shoulder and get your books out, or just get that just refresher with this show of how you can protect yourself, your kids, your home, and maybe just what God is asking you to do and things you've never done before. That maybe make your family stronger. So without further ado, we are going to hear from Kathleen Beckman on A Family's Guide to Spiritual Warfare. So stay tuned. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett, and we are here with the beautiful Kathleen Beckman. Thank you for being here on Women Made New today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Kristalina. I'm honored to be with you.
Now, we are going to be discussing her new book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing. And that probably rings true for a lot of you listening right now. And I know it does even for my own family within my own home. Everybody right now seems like they are going through something in some way, shape, or form. And a lot of people are really going back to the ABC basics of what they know, and that is God. And they don't know how to search for him or come to him, or they feel like they have fallen away or that they've done too much stuff in their past and how could God want me kind of thing. And the devil has them really wrapped up in those lies, right? And there's so many things right now, Kathleen, that are so uncertain in our world. And everything has just changed overnight. And a lot of people that I've talked to have felt very helpless in what it is they can do. And reading your book, it really felt like something that you could pick up, you could take and be proactive today for your family and in fighting this spiritual warfare. And you may not be able to go out and change things in the world right now today, but you can go and you can change things within your family, especially the attacks of the evil one. So can you please tell me what is kind of a starting point with this guide to spiritual warfare that you give people to combat this?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your comments, your introductory comments, because it's absolutely true. And I think listeners will relate to it, that we feel that we're in this battle. We're called into this good fight, if you will. And I think what the book does, I mean, what I intended for it to do is that first we would empathize with one another because we're all in this, you know, every family is undergoing some level of spiritual warfare, and then encourage. The book is really meant to be encouraging. Some spiritual warfare books that I've read, even though they are really quite good, they are a little bit frightening. And so I think it was really my goal to write a book from a very maternal heart, imploring the Immaculate Heart of Mary to really use me as a vessel and to address this spiritual warfare in the domestic church between spouses and children and what attacks us with a maternal heart. So there's a great deal of encouragement and then the empowerment, because we are empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the gifts of the Spirit, by our sacramental graces. We're empowered to push back the darkness. We're empowered to be victorious against every attack that is coming against the family and against our children and spouses. So really the book is full of good news, Kristalina, and I think you picked up on that.
Oh, absolutely. And I really don't think people truly understand how God has equipped each of us with everything we need to fight every battle that comes our way. And they don't really know the weapons that they already have in their own home. And just tools God has given us within the church, even the sacramentals, to fight what's coming against us. So can you please give us some of those?
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole chapter in the book called Dressing Your Family in the Armor of God. And I open that chapter with a situation that I experienced. You may remember this in the book, where I was on an airplane and all of a sudden, the people coming onto the airplane were military. So all these soldiers were coming on. And, you know, no matter what their race was, because they were all different colors, if you will, they were all wearing their fatigues, their army fatigues. And I remember thinking, look at how when they put on that uniform, there's like an esprit de corps. There's a community there. They have, you know, one goal. They work together as a unit. And so I thought, you know, there's a diversity of backgrounds and experiences. But when they put on that uniform, they are an army. And I thought, I wonder if heaven, you know, looks upon the children of God, you know, that we have been baptized and the Lord has offered us this armor. This is a uniform, if you will, in Ephesians 6, you know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. And so in that chapter, I really break open each part of the armor of God. And I use that as a teaching and encourage families to dress your children in this armor. You can take your children, even young children, and teach them the way of putting on this godly uniform to protect them from anything that is ungodly, which is there's many things. And as the book points out, we have a threefold enemy. We can't blame all of the attacks that are coming against marriage and family on evil spirits. We also have to push back and overcome our own human nature, the concupiscence, that fallen nature, our sin nature that we have. And then the other enemy comes from without, from the world, the culture that really now has an attitude that the God's vision for marriage and family, there's something wrong with it. And so the world comes at it with a viewpoint that is anti-God and anti-gospel. So that's another enemy. And the third one are, you know, is the demonic spirits. And so we really need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us do something very foundational, and that is discern the spirits. What's going on in my marriage? What's going on with my children? Which spirit is operating here? Is it the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit? Is it, you know, a human spirit, which most of us are operating in our families? Or is it a demonic spirit, which are, they're very real, and they have a hallmark that is very malicious. So we can, there's so much we can do if we're empowered with this knowledge.
How do you recognize those spirits? How, like a person that really doesn't know anything about spiritual warfare, how does one even recognize something like that?
Well, what comes from evil spirit, well, first of all, I would say the foundational is that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you know the chief exorcist, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of your relationship with him and your openness to the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, you're going to be able to discern it. And we are given at baptism, every person, every baptized person is given a level of discernment of spirits. And so we are able to tell what comes from the demonic. Crystallina has a very malicious way about it. It's a very, it can be subtle or it can be very strong, but it will be very malicious. And by that, I mean, it will be very soul crushing. And so why it's important to know how the Lord Jesus works with you, because then you realize that even when the Lord is correcting me, because of some sin or some fault that I have, and he's trying to help me to grow in virtue, you know that when the Lord does this, when the Holy Spirit does this correction, it is uplifting. It is encouraging. It is helping you to go on the right path. But when it comes from an evil spirit, it's soul crushing. It really, he can only influence your imagination and your memory. He cannot influence the human intellect or your will. So we are always free in our intellect and in our will, but in our imagination or our memory, there can be demonic influences. And as soon as we sense that what is happening here is beyond just my human nature, this is too crushing, it's too dark, it's too anti-God, it's too anti-marriage, it's too anti-child, it's too malicious, then I know that I'm probably dealing with an evil spirit. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. That helped me, and I'm sure a lot of people listening. Now, also in your book, you talk about how to, quote unquote, clean up your household. How can people do that?
Well, I think, you know, I'm always in, throughout the book, I'm encouraging people to prioritize what's going on in your home so that you can protect everyone within. So one of the exorcist professors that I had suggested to us that in our line of sight, so think of it in our homes, in each room, that we would have something that is holy, something that is sacred, so that our minds and our hearts can be lifted up, whether it's a crucifix, an icon, an image of the Immaculate or the Sacred Heart. The enemy despises these holy objects, and it is uncomfortable for him, the evil spirits, to exist in that environment. And so I think that's one very practical way. But I have a whole chapter that is entitled Unmasking Diabolical Disguises. And it really does challenge families to take a deep dive into what is going on with our spouses and children in the area of pornography, porno grind. I list many different things, new age, occult, alternative healing practices that really are rooted in the occult, pendulum, tarot cards, Ouija boards. You know, Crystalina, more and more exorcists are reporting that, for example, young girls, teenagers, in one situation, they were seven, they were playing in their room, two girlfriends, and they were on the internet, and they decided, this is in the book, they decided that they would click on a witchcraft website, and then they called upon a evil spirit. And guess what? That evil spirit was at the ready to come into that home. And lo and behold, almost immediately, the home had infestation of evil spirits. And it was a priest friend that called me to say, to share this story, to say that he had just visited that home, had offered a mass, blessed the entire home, and, you know, had to encourage the parents to be careful what our young children are doing on the internet, because it's right there.
I don't think parents realize how dangerous. Yes, they see pornography. Yes, they see all of those things that we know are bad, right? But there's a completely different element to the internet, just like you said, they don't realize you're opening your home up to. And it is dangerous if you're not paying attention. And our children don't know any better, especially if we're not teaching them these things. And 9 times out of 10, we're not teaching them these things, right? And I think it's so important that we do teach our children these things. But the thing is, how do you talk to them about the warfare? How do you talk to them about the dangers of the different temptations that do come their way on a practical level with them?
Well, you know, to kind of guide parents into not being afraid of forming their children, of raising them with awareness to evil spirits, I shared in the book in chapter 2 what Cardinal Amato shared during the Association of International Exorcists course in Rome, which I attended. So as a student there, I heard him give a conference on the three children of Fatima. Now, Crystalina, let's think how young, you know, those three children were, Lucia and Jacinta and Francesco. They were very young. And heaven ordained that they would see, first of all, we do want to say that they were prepared by the angel, and they knew the prayer of the Eucharist. So they were prepared by the angel and Mary, but they were granted a vision of hell. And they were able to grasp this whole idea of the salvation of souls and saving souls from falling into hell. And those were young children. So I think that as a matter of protecting our children, we need to raise them up to know that, yes, there are predators, human and spiritual, and that, you know, the whole gospel story of the war in heaven broke out. We have 2/3 good angels, but there are 1/3 fallen angels, and they try to do what for children? They want to separate them from God's grace, God's friendship, prayer, you know, even turn them against siblings, against sibling or against parents. So I know my mother did something that was so simple, but it stayed with me throughout college. When I was a little girl, she said to me, Crystalina, and I'm sure this is not original, many of the listeners will know it. She said, remember this, you have a good angel on one shoulder and you have a bad angel on another shoulder. And you want to be sure that you listen to the good angel and not to the bad angel. You know, I was probably 7 when my mom taught me that, and I remembered that in high school when I needed to remember it.
Right? You teach your children and you drop these seeds, and deep down in your heart of hearts, you know you're doing right, and your kids get it. They know better. They know right from wrong. They know when they're doing something they shouldn't. Even now at this age, and I'm sure Kathleen, at your age, you know when it's what's right from wrong. You know if you should be doing something or not doing something, right? We all do.
That's right.
It's going to be there from when our age of reason and all the way until the day we die. We know there is no excuse. Now, the thing is, though, do we always want to know? No, we want to do what we want to do, right? We don't always want to submit. And that's what's difficult, is submitting. But isn't the will so important when it comes to spiritual warfare? Because all of hell can come at you with a temptation, but it cannot penetrate your will only if you give that yes, only if you give your will over.
Yes, you are absolutely right about that. The will is protected. It is forbidden. No evil spirit can influence the will. It can, like I said, influence our imagination and our memory. And that's why it's so important to really be careful about what, you know, activities the imagination is involved in, and and not to let the enemy really attacks memories, especially in the area of like bringing up sin that we have created or that we have done. And even though it's confessed sin, you know, the evil spirit will tempt us. Remember when you did this, and maybe it was really awful. And he won't let us forget it. He's the accuser. That's one of his names in scripture. But that's where we need to know that if I've confessed that sin, I am free of it, and not to go down that path of that temptation to second guess or let the enemy distract us from what we're doing. So to get back to your comment about the will is always free, and the intellect is too. And so we can always make an act of faith, turn to Jesus in our will, even in the midst of intense spiritual battles, you know. And so I think that we, for example, the enemy really likes to come against marriages. And as I share in the book, he can undermine and divide couples through a spirit of accusation or a spirit of deception, a spirit of doubt. Is this really the partner that I was meant to be with, or the spouse that I was meant to be with, I should say, or to divert us from our spouse and, you know, find something else interesting over here instead of what's going on with my spouse or my home. A spirit of destruction, to destroy the friendship that spouses have, or even duplicity, like living almost like a double life at work versus at home. So these are ways that, you know, the enemy tries to undermine spouses. And that's usually what he does first to break down the family.
Wow, it's so true. It's so true. And for those newlyweds out there, if you are listening and you're newly married, one of the attacks of the evil one, and this goes for anybody married, honestly, not even just newlyweds. The attack is when you're not married, the devil wants to get you and whoever you're dating or engaged to, as close as physically possible, all the way into sinning, right?
Right.
The temptation is there. But once you are married, the devil does everything in his power to keep you two separated and as far as apart that you can possibly be. It's unbelievable. And the distractions and the things that just like will creep in between you. And if you don't have your guard up, the space will just get slowly bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's where you really need to listen to that voice of God in your heart of like, oh, this isn't so good, or no, this isn't. And then you start thinking about it, saying, well, oh, it's not that bad, or this person isn't that bad. They want to help us, this and that. It's just like, no. If God puts something that is uneasy in your spirit about something that you're bringing into your home, or you're allowing to maybe be with your marriage, you have to really listen to the Spirit of God, if it's good or bad, because he's trying to protect you, because it's very subtle, and you have to protect your relationship and your friendship and your marriage above all else, because the devil will really just try to creep in there, and you won't even realize it when it's happening in the beginning.
That's so important what you just said, Crystalina. It really takes effort and awareness. And that's why I stress being vigilant and virtuous and being brave, being valiant, being brave. And I there's a lot of this throughout the book. I encourage families. We all have, you know, our faults and failures, and we need to be brave, not to just sweep things under the rug, turn away and pretend we don't notice that, or, you know, that suspicion, like, I wonder if my spouse is looking at pornography. I wonder if my child is, or I wonder if my son is doing marijuana or drugs. You know, these are things we can, the devil will really tempt us to, you know, don't pay attention to that. I'm sure it's all going to be okay. You're overreacting. No, if your spirit, like you said, prompts you that something is amiss here with my child or my spouse, it takes courage, to say, honey, what's going on here? Let's look at this. Are you okay? You know, and go there. We cannot just pretend we don't see these signals that God gives us. And I know it's easier said than done to address them, but we need to do that.
Absolutely. It is so important. And for those of you that maybe have just tuned in, we are talking with Kathleen Beckman on the Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing. So let's say, well, actually, families that are really divided, and I know there is actually a lot of families that are dealing with division. They're coming at each other. There's a lot going on. The world is so just not what we're used to, and things are changing on a daily basis. How can they bring, or the parents just stop and bring everybody kind of back together, knowing that, okay, step back and see, this is spiritual warfare. What is it they can do today?
Well, there's a lot that can and should be done. And one of the, I think, best pieces of advice that I heard from exorcists is, when you want to help your family, start by working on yourself. And so, you know, we all have some wound, some area that we need to work on. So working on our own personal woundedness and our healing and holiness. So working on that to begin with, okay? And then once you are really, your prayer life is really on track. But I don't want to make, I want to clarify this. I don't want to make it sound like everything has to be perfect before you do anything, because that isn't the case at all. You can do, and there's many tools in the book, you can and should exercise your spiritual authority. So you have a baptismal spiritual authority, you have spousal spiritual authority, and you have parental spiritual authority. So you can pray when you feel that what is happening has a demonic component to it. It may not be all demonic. That's what we have to realize. It's not like compartmentalizing, because part of this might be that human nature, some sort of an addiction or something going on that needs help in one area. But if there's a demonic entity that is trying to exacerbate that addiction or something like that, then you should immediately, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take command over the evil spirit that is operative here. If it's a spirit of impurity, a spirit of alcoholism. So you can pray that way in the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for your spouse to cast Satan away from him or her. And you can pray that for your children. So you can take authority. And what that does is that binds the evil spirits, then are impotent, if you will, and that gives the person some freedom from that demonic influence, so they are a little freer to be able to do the right thing. Does that make sense, Crystalina?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it makes total sense. We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I am here with Kathleen Beckman, and we are discussing her book on spiritual warfare. Now, we were discussing how can we combat if we are experiencing spiritual warfare in our family. Let's say they have the spirit of division and it's just becoming a massive problem. How can they protect themselves? What is it they can do today to overcome this?
Yes. And we were talking a little bit about authority, baptismal authority, spousal authority, and parental authority. We know in scripture how the evil spirits left because Jesus spoke with authority. That's why it's so important that we understand the authority that has been endowed to us by virtue of sacraments. And so when we're aware of that, when we know that, that knowledge empowers us to be able to pray in the name of Jesus, Satan, get thee behind me. And this is part of the tripod of the foundation of fighting back against evil spirits. And that tripod is scripture, spiritual authority, and the state of grace. So we've been talking about authority already. We do want to talk back to evil spirits exactly in the precise way that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke back to evil spirits when he was tempted in the desert. What did the Lord do? He quoted scripture. And so we can do the same thing, quote the scriptures, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did, you know, in Matthew 4:10, begone Satan, in Matthew 16:23, Satan, get behind me. You know, any scripture that you can have at the ready, you can do exactly what the Lord Jesus did when he was tempted in the desert. So we have the sword of the spirit, which is scripture. We have the spiritual authority. And then the third part of this tripod is the state of grace, because the state of grace is, very, very powerful. When we are in the state of grace, our prayers are very efficacious. So mortal sin robs you of the good effects of the divine economy of authority. So your prayers for the family then are more efficacious when you're in the state of grace and when you're operating within the divine economy of authority. So that's why it's so important to go to confession as often as possible, because that confession keeps you, helps to keep you in the state of grace. And that is very empowering.
I've heard it said that confession can be a mini exorcism.
Well, it's a sacrament. It's a sacrament. The confession is a sacrament. The rite of exorcism is a ritual and is a sacramental. So it's, you know, I was thinking about the other day, exorcists have said the one confession is more powerful than 100 rites of exorcism. And then I started thinking, you know, no sacramental is as powerful as a sacrament. So confession is the sacrament that we really want. But in the book, I do encourage the families to use the beautiful sacramentals. And there's an arsenal of sacramentals that the Catholic Church has. And I explain that, you know, some people might be tempted, Crystallina, to think, well, you know, there's some secret things that go on during the rite of exorcism. And having served for a dozen years now on the team for the exorcist priest and being present at those rites, I can share with you that what happens during the rite of exorcism, which we would say a major rite of exorcism, is it's a ritual, it's a prayer, and the sacramentals are used, the relics, the holy water, the blessed salt, the crucifix, the rosary is prayed, the chaplet, the litany of saints, and we have recourse, the domestic church, we have recourse to all of those sacramentals short of the prayer of the rite.
See, people don't realize, again, it's right at our fingertips to combat the things coming at us. We don't realize the power in them, right?
Right.
It's they just don't understand. So what are, I know you discussed 13 weapons within the book that they can use to defend themselves against spiritual warfare, but what are some of those 13?
Well, I encourage sacramental life. That's very, very important. Also, Eucharistic life. I think it's really, I know for me personally, Kristalina, I had a conversion in my mid-30s, which is 30 years ago. And almost 30 years ago. I was just converted, really, had that reversion to the Lord through Eucharist. And I have been a daily communicant and a daily adorer for probably 25 years. And I think that that's been the true empowerment for me to be faithful in my vocation as wife and mother. And so I really encourage that we would build a Eucharistic heart, and that takes that discipline of prioritizing the Eucharist, the receiving of the Eucharist, and the adoring of the Blessed Sacrament. So I encourage the building of a Eucharistic heart and then the building of a Eucharistic home. Sacramentals are part of that. Arsenal, the dressing in the armor of God, scripture reading. I encourage families to have a place in the home, a little prayer corner, and to really develop that as a holy ground within the family home, where every member can go there and maybe have a statue of the Lord or Mary, and holy cards, the rosary, a blessed candle, a crucifix, maybe a prayer intention box. I mean, these things are real spiritual helps, and they should be taken seriously. I talked about having holy objects in the line of sight. And so there's so many things that the family can do to spiritually build up one another and to help all of us to be the best version of ourselves.
That place that you do create within your home, and for those of you that don't have anything like that, I would just highly encourage you to do it today if you can. Just a small area in your home that is specifically for Jesus. Like, you move Jesus in your home, there's a place for him. You've got a crucifix, you've got your prayer books, you bring the kids, and that is where you go and you do your prayers, and that's where you go meet God and you bring him into your home. It's beautiful, and it really can transform your entire home, just making this small space for God, right?
Oh, absolutely, Kristalina. I've seen what it does. I've seen this many times. It creates an environment for intimacy. So I've noticed this even like with my own spouse. We can chat and bring, talk. But when we pray, for us, it started with the rosary. But then when we start praying from our heart, it's like the sharing of the deepest part of one another's heart. And so that really provides like an intimacy that can only be experienced in prayer. And I find that with the children, if you've been, late in my life, did I do this just because I didn't know. I wish I knew what I've learned over the last 12 years when my kids were younger. But I know now as adults, when I pray with my children now, which we do, just to hear their heart lifted up to God in prayer, it is something that is so intimate, and it's just, it binds us together in the Lord. So it's a very important part of family life, I think, to pray together.
It's really precious, some of the things that come out of my children's mouth when we go around and we give our intentions, and just it's precious, their little heart, and they really do get things sometimes, that you think that they wouldn't, and that they ask for prayers. It's really beautiful, but just to get that as a foundation in their life, to know that they can talk and access God at any moment, will be huge down the road. Right? Instead of having to deal with these things as an adult or young adult, it's much harder. But if you can teach them at a young age that they can go to God for anything and he's always there for them, and also especially in the Eucharist, that is everything. Because if you can teach your children now that Jesus is always there for you in the Eucharist, and to always just listen to his voice inside, because one day we won't be there for them as parents.
Right.
But Jesus always will be, and he always will guide them and do what's best for them as long as they're listening to that voice, right? And I've said this in other radio shows, I'll say it again. I tell my young children so they get it. It's like that voice of God within us is truly like a compass to heaven. Just listen to everything he's asking you to do, even though it's hard or may not make sense. Just do it, because God will bless you. God is trying to convey something. God is trying to protect you. There's something going on that we just need to listen. And I think that's difficult for some people because they don't want to give their will over to that. They want to do what they want to do. But at the end of the day, anytime I did that, I was miserable, right? And I regretted it. Oh my man, did I regret it. So it's so important to listen, and just to teach your kids to listen, because the day will come when we're not around. And if they're learned to listen to God's voice, in my heart of hearts, I know they're going to be okay.
You're absolutely right. And I'm thinking of a story. I think I wrote it in the book, When Women Pray, but it's not in this book. But I recall as a little girl that my mother had, we didn't talk in my family. We didn't talk about like prayer or God, but I learned by example of my mom and my dad. But my mother had a devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And so she would, during the middle of the week, she would take her four children and we'd walk to the church. It was a brief walk, and she would sit us down in the front pew, and then she would go before the tabernacle. And I said to her, "What are you doing, Mom?" And she said, "I'm talking to God." And so then, you know, I would watch her as she was there kneeling down before the Blessed Sacrament, looking intently, you know, at the Lord. And I thought, you know, she's really talking to God. And then on the way home, I would say, "Does he talk back, Mom?" And of course he does. He goes, you know, prayer is a conversation. Now, I was a young child, you know, and I remember this. And I think that's why I have such an affinity for going before the Blessed Sacrament now, and with an expectation that I can hear God's voice. I can talk to God like my mom did. And I just noticed she was always happier after she did that as well. So,
Right. Anytime I go and see Jesus, even if I'm upset or I'm overwhelmed or like, my goodness, I have eight children. This is a lot, Lord, you know, and I need to just take a time out and I go see Jesus. I come out of there, I feel honestly a different person. And some people don't experience that. And I don't experience that all the time.
Right.
But I can go in there and I can cry, or I can talk to him, and I can give him my anger or frustration or my failings, anything going on. And I come out rejuvenated, refreshed, and with the grace that I need to combat anything that's going on, right? Because when I don't do that and I give in to the temptation of being discouraged or angry or whatever it is I'm dealing with that day, you always have those regrets. But Jesus is always there for you to say, "Look, just come, just talk to me." And that's also why that place in your home is so important, because some of you can't go to your churches. Your churches are locked. You can't go inside. But you can find God anywhere. You don't need to go there necessarily to find him. You can sit down in your living room in front of that crucifix or statue of the Blessed Mother and just talk with him about what is going on, and take that 5 minute just time out. I like to say mommy needs a time out with Jesus, you know, like I need it's a time perfect. Out with Jesus right now. Give me a second, you know.
That is awesome. Well, you know, I was leading a retreat, which I do a lot of retreat work before COVID started. And I remember encouraging, you know, families and the ladies on the retreat to make a daily holy hour. And a woman raised her hand and said, "Well, you know, I think you're being a little unrealistic, because I'm a mother of several children, and, you know, I can't just leave them and go to the Blessed Sacrament chapel." And then before I could answer, another lady raised her hand and she wanted to respond. She said, "I'm a homeschooling mother of eight children. And so what I do," she said, "is I wake up an hour earlier than the rest of the household, and I tell the children and my husband that Mommy needs to give the first hour of her day to God so that she can be a good mommy and a good spouse." So she said, even the little ones, sometimes she goes to their little prayer corner and she makes a holy hour at home, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so she said, sometimes I can hear, like when the kids do start to wake up at six, she said she could hear at the door. They're kind of at the doorway, and the older child is telling the younger one to be quiet, or the younger one is saying to another child, "Shh, mommy's with God." And they know not to open that door till a certain time. And so it's really a beautiful example, you know, that here's a mom making the effort by this beautiful example to wake up at 5 when the rest of the household gets up at 6 to start her day with the Lord. So, you know, when we want to, we find a way. And love compels us to do this. It isn't just that we have to do something. We're compelled by our love and our relationship with the Lord Jesus to want to spend time with him, because it's beautiful to be with the Lord. It is life-giving, and it is just so, it's like a fulfillment of what we're called to do and be, and that is to spend time with the Lord. So if we're going to be victorious as spiritual warriors for the family, we must stay exceedingly close to our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can never do battle without him. We have to turn to him. When do you want me to do battle? When do you not? When are you telling me to wait? When are you telling me to go forward? Lord, tell me what is going on here. When should I address this? When this, you know, you're getting all your commands, if you will, from your commander. And we realize that we have access to Jesus Christ, who is the chief exorcist. So we can ask him to heal, deliver our loved ones. That's who we go to initially. And he tells us what to do. He'll tell us, well, you go see my priest. You know, if you need something where you have to go see a priest because it's gotten to that point, or you need a counselor or something, the Lord will lead you in that way. But it's so important to stay in prayer with him.
You know, Kathleen, that's the second time that you have said during this hour, the chief exorcist. And I've never heard Jesus called that before. I've heard priests called that, right?
Right.
But I've never heard Jesus actually called the chief exorcist, even though that is correct.
Yes.
And I love it. I love it.
Well, you know what?
And the commander, because my kids ask me something or something's going on and I'm like, well, I need to go ask my boss, and Jesus is my boss. You're going to have to wait on that for a moment, you know, like, which is great. My kids see that, but the chief exorcist is fantastic.
I love it because, you know, what happens is I'm the administrator for healing, deliverance, and exorcism in my diocese. So people call, they get in trouble, you know, they feel oppressed from evil spirits, and they want to see the exorcist. And I'm always thinking, have you gone to the chief exorcist? And usually when they are in trouble, it's because they haven't gone to the chief exorcist. And it also helps all of us, because in the lower levels of demonic oppression, which is demonic oppression is a category in which your life begins to look like Job in the scriptures. And so that is attacks from without. And so you can, you know, go to the Lord and ask for that deliverance. And so I think it is a beautiful realization to know that we have access to the chief exorcist, and we need to commune with him, and all the strategies that he has in place. He wants to give us, he wants to guide us in the way of what? Of proclaiming his victory over the demonic. You know, he came to undo the works of the devil, and by virtue of our discipleship, we are called to undo the works of the devil and proclaim Christ's victory for our loved ones, because they are so precious and need to be defended at times.
Absolutely. And we've talked a lot about Jesus, but what role does the Blessed Mother and the angels play in defending us in spiritual warfare, our family, our marriage?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's my favorite chapter. And I put the Mary chapter is the last chapter in the book. It's chapter 10, because I wanted to save like the best for last. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the book has some, it does deal with a lot of things which are challenging, but I wanted to leave the reader on a very high note. And so that's that chapter of working with Mary and the angels. So Mary she's fierce, absolutely fierce in spiritual warfare.
I love that description. It's so true. People don't realize it. I love you said she is fierce. That's exactly, that's perfection.
Oh, she is. She is. It's really breathtaking to witness, you know, during exorcisms, her fierceness. And And also, we see it. The evil spirits are absolutely tormented. It seems to me that they would rather leave the person and leave the room than to be present when Our Lady is present. When the exorcist priest calls on Our Lady to come and deliver this person from an evil spirit, when she comes, it is experienced by everyone in that room. Her Marian presence is there. It's powerful. It's humbling, and she is humble. It's by virtue of her humility that it's the undoing of the evil spirits. They are such proud, legalistic spirits, and she is so humble and virtuous in her littleness that it really is there to their embarrassment that God has empowered this beautiful Virgin Mother Mary to step on their head and to be victorious over them. So she is somebody that you want to invite into your home, invite into your spiritual life, invite into your spiritual warfare. She's Our Lady of Victory. She will inspire us to do the will of God. She will intercede unceasingly for our families. God is in the details. And so she knows these details and intercedes for us. She's just a constant instrument of God's grace for the family. And along with her, it seems like she never comes without St. Michael and the good angels. And so I really encourage listeners to cultivate a real friendship and awareness of your guardian angel who is at the ready to defend you from the fiery darts of the enemy.
Absolutely. You have been such a blessing in all of your knowledge. And just thank you for writing this, because so many people and families are struggling right now and they don't know what to do and what's happening. And this really can just shed some clarity, and it gives them direction and something that they can actually do today for their families, you know, to be proactive in this spiritual battle that so many of us are fighting. And for those of you that didn't know what to do or how to do it, now you do, and you can. And you also can purchase this book on the EWTN catalog. And if someone would like to find out further information about you, where do they go?
Oh, I would invite listeners to visit the KathleenBeckman.com website or the SophiaInstitute.com website. And I also would like to take an opportunity. The last story in the book, Christina, is about a priest and the way that he was attacked by evil spirits. And I would encourage listeners to please visit foundationforpriests.org and sign up to be an intercessor for our beloved priests who really are on the front line of the spiritual battle. And so I do want to say that is it's very much a part of the book, that we also intercede for our priests.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here on Women Made New. And just know that we will keep you in our prayers.
Kristalina, thank you for your wonderful ministry as well. You keep fighting the good fight, and many souls are blessed by that. So thank you for having me.
God bless. I want to thank my guest again, Kathleen, for being here. You have such a beautiful heart, and thank you for all of that information. It is going to help me and many other families out there. If you would like to connect with Kathleen, you can go to KathleenBeckman.com. And if you would like to buy her book, A Family's Guide to Spiritual Warfare, you can go to the EWTN Religious Catalog and pick one up there. And if you would like to know more about my ministry, Women Made New, you can go to womenmadenew.com. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday. And if you could please keep me and my family in your prayers. And just know I am praying for you as well. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. God bless.